Good morning. I'll put my name, should I do something with my name? Okay, well, I'd like to thank the mayor of Watford City and Representative Zupke for our tour last, yesterday afternoon. It's very informative and there's a lot of things happening, and I sincerely appreciate your efforts putting that together, Representative. Also, thanks to AE2S for the hors d'oeuvres last night. Sincerely appreciate that. So let us begin this morning. After our discussion topics that we have and we start getting into a quick take, our agenda is pretty much flexible. And I just want to quickly go over where we would be with the quick take issues. You've got some correspondence that we've received in the last couple of days, and Claire has made copies and put that on your desk. She will go over those. The second thing that she will cover in our quick take discussion is the memo, so that we're all back on the same page with respect to that. And then I've asked her to cover the recent case with the Fargo diversion and the Donald Cossett case, because I think there's some bearing in what the judge has ruled. And so I've asked for her to cover that. And then we will cover the bills that we have. You have three bills in front of you. We'll cover each bill separately and discuss it. And then I believe that we should not take any action on those bills. Take what you hear today back home, give it, communicate with those that you need to communicate. It also gives the public a 30 days to look at what we're thinking about. And then when we meet in the end of September, then we'll take action on those bills. So that'll be the basically the four steps in quick take discussion. And then we will take some public comment as well with regards to quick take or anything else we have. So our end date this afternoon is kind of up in the air and flexible at this point in time. Okay, so with that, Mr. Steve Snyder, Southwest Water Authority, the floor is yours, sir, and thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Mary, to let you know how things are going with Southwest Water Authority and what we're working on.
Excuse me, Mr. Schneider, could you just state your name and title for the record?
Sure. My name is Steve Schneider. I'm a director of with Southwest Water Authority with Stark County. All right, we've got the slides back here behind you. Go over those. Our vision, I always like to go over that. People and business succeeding with quality water. Our mission is quality water for Southwest North Dakota. Sorry about that. Capital repayment. We pay a portion of what we get from rural, domestic, municipal, and industrial sales back to the Resources Trust Fund. We paid back more than $50 million back to the fund since the beginning of the project, and that's through the end of August of this year. Over 30% of that money has been paid back to North Dakota. And eventually every dollar is going to be paid back. Again, that's in perpetuity, so that will go on forever, okay? If you have any questions, please interrupt.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Striley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What's the interest rate on these? On this?
I believe there's any interest rate on the...
The state owns the project. Mr. Chairman, Representative Striley, it's not a bond as such. It is just state ownership and the state pays. And it was based on a study in the early 70s that in order to build the project, the state needed to own it. And so we just pay back forever.
Whereas WAS has a 5% rate. So I guess I get to stick up for WAS today.
Well, you could also say, though, too, that our capital repayment is indexed to the CPI, and it's adjusted annually, that rate set by the North Dakota State Water Commission, and all water rates, all customers pay back, whether you be a contract, a city, a rural customer. But yes, you can stick up for WAS today.
Thank you, Mary. So right now, we've been paying back approximately $5 million per year. So obviously with increased water sales, that certainly helps that cost. And there you can see the annual project repayment. The first year was a little over $11,000 that we paid back. And you can see the high point there was in 2014 with nearly $5.1 million paid back. And if you're looking for the numbers for every year, there you go. You can see that the longer we go, the bigger the project gets, the more that we pay back.
Question with respect to, over the last few years, you've got your two depots that have had fairly decent water sales, anywhere between $3 to $4 million, I believe, for the two of them.
I believe that's correct.
How are you compensating those losses now?
Well, we've budgeted accordingly, anticipating not much in sales. So we've had that budget set up in preparation for what's going on now. So anything to add to that, Mary?
The way that has worked is it's been a third, a third, and a third. A third capital repayment, third to the replacement fund, and a third to cover O&M or operations and maintenance cost, and those have just gone down. We'll have slides as far as sales go later on, and you can be as depressed as we are. Excuse me. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, those depots have been very helpful for us. The first year and a half or so, we had some good sales on those that helped us with our building, helped us pay for things, keep rates down. So the timing of that was great. Would have been nice a year earlier, but it's worked out well for us. We just want sales to get better, just like everybody else. So, okay. And you can see the contract water rate. Currently, that's $39.55. Per 6,000 gallons, the rural minimum, and the contract water rate is $22 per thousand. Currently, we're serving 56,000, right around 56,000 people, over 6,300 rural customers, 33 different communities, 23 contract customers, two additional water, rural water systems, 21 raw water customers, three crew camps, two raw water depots. Water sales for 2016 were projected to be at 2.3 billion gallons, and revenue for 2016 is projected at 13.7 million. We have two water treatment plants, and we have one water treatment plant currently under construction with 52 employees. And here you can see the project area we're covering. I think I missed a slide here. Nope. Excuse me. Currently, we have 434 additional requests for service in the area. I believe when I was here in May of this year, we were at 350. So our requests continue to grow. There you can see, let's see here, make sure we get. This is just showing all of our future construction for the pipeline with what we're working on now. So right now we have 17 open contracts. We have 12 contracts that are under construction. I'll go over those with you here briefly. This is contract 79E. It's a West Center service area. Includes Mercer, Oliver, and Morton counties. The contractor we have is Swanberg Construction. The bid date was May 22nd of 14. The startup date was September 29th of 2014. And the intermediate completion date was July 15th of 2015. And the original completion date was set for November 15th of 2015. The bid amount was $8.3 million. Change orders to date on that was just short of $1 million. Contract amount with the company is $9.2 million. We covered 270 miles of pipe and 255 services when bid. Now the work includes 312 users and 285 miles. So it's funny how when people see the pipe coming in the ground, they want to sign up.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Steve, you talked about a treatment plant that's under construction. Where is that at?
In Dickinson. We anticipate that to be done in sometime this next year. That's what we're hoping for.
And what's the cost of that that treatment plant?
If I may, Mr. Do you have it? If I may, Mr. Chairman, Representative Nelson, with procurement and all the contracts go together, it's right around $36 million. It'll have a capacity of 6 million gallons per day. It will be membrane filtration and lime softening.
Okay, and that would be, when that's completed, that will serve the some of the expansion area in and around Dickinson as well as the rural areas, correct?
Correct. On that one, the first map, everything in blue was served out of the water treatment plant in Dickinson, and everything in green is served out of the treatment plant north of Zap, the OMND water treatment plant.
Okay.
So it'll increase capacity from 12 to 18 million gallons per day.
As a comparison, and I don't know if you can answer this, but I know Beulah was just granted a water treatment expansion. What's the size of that plant?
The treatment plant? I have no idea. Sorry.
Okay, as we look at efficiencies, that still is not doesn't meet my standard of efficiency when we should be working on a regional system like you are in Dickinson, and you're serving more people than using state money, I think, more responsibly, and then we have that situation where it's parochial in nature.
Yes, and we did try. In 2007, we had our final sign-up campaign for all of our Mercer North Dunn counties. We met with every community and held public meetings for both rural and for the communities. And if the communities were not signed up, they had to hold a public vote unless their city commission had the authority to vote on behalf of the citizens. And Beulah elected to handle it through their city commission and multiple times told us no. And as late as 2009, when we went to final design with the Oliver Mercer North Dunn treatment plant, they were still a no.
Well, Mr. Chairman and committee members, I think it's safe to say that it's a pretty easy decision as a resident of Beulah if you're going to get funding from the state, either whether it's through Southwest Water or themselves, if there's no, obviously they want to have control of their system, and there's no penalty for not having control if we fund these things in a redundant fashion.
Senator Lee.
Mr. Chairman and Steve or Mary, I think that loop up above there, is that Oliver Mercer Dunn?
Actually, let's go back
here. I was just wondering where that is in relation to Beulah, where Beulah
okay,
fits
if
in.
You look at this map, up in the top right corner, it shows our service area in the state of North Dakota. And then if you go to the area in green, Beulah is in the green area. And we'll have one of our construction maps where it'll show the rural construction, but they are south and to the east of the treatment plant that you can see is OMND water treatment plant. That's 7.5 miles north of Zap. With them deciding not to take Southwest Pipeline Project water, we size things accordingly, including the treatment plant, main transmission line, and storage. So those would need to be increased. We'd need to increase treatment plant size, we would need to parallel pipeline, and we would need to put in system storage for the city of Beulah. And that cost would be double or triple, I would say at least, compared to their other option on the table now.
S- one note, we will put the discussion of regionalization on the agenda when we meet with the State Water Commission, because I believe they're as concerned about it as we are. And so we'll have that as an agenda item. Representative Striley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can we have the health department come to next meeting? Because that plays into the max bass, which makes no sense. If we got one state agency doing something different than the other, I mean, it kind of defeats the whole purpose. And I don't know if there's any bills or incentives or what we could do to force this issue. But, I mean, it's clearly there's still some bad actors out there.
Okay, we will do that. We will ask for their participation in that discussion as well. Because if I may digress just a tad, we've got that email message from the Department of Health, and Max Bass is on there, and it's in the document that Max Bass was going to hook with that money to all seasons, and that's not the case. And so I think that needs to be part of our regionalization discussion with the State Water Commission as well. So we will take that up. We will invite those to do that. I think we should probably include RD, because RD has the same scenario. So I think we'll include them as well and have spend some time on this discussion. So with that, please continue, Steve and Mary. Steve, more than Mary.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, let me try to find Steve's place here for you. We're back. The show's Oliver Mercer North done in our construction, and I keep pressing buttons, so I apologize. And here we are back to construction, and Steve was visiting with you on this slide. I'll let you continue. This is E. This shows some construction and placement, underground facilities, pipeline construction in that region. And then here is East Center service area.
Thank you, Mary. As you can see, Mary eats, sleeps, breathes Southwest Water. So my grandfather was one of the founding board members, so I've been hearing about Southwest Water since I was about this big. So, but yeah, she definitely dreams about it as well. So this is a map of contract 79F. This includes much of Oliver County. The contract was bid in 2013. It's still under construction, and this is the fourth year of construction on this rural project. Contractor is Etherly Constructors Incorporated. The bid date was September 19th of 2013. The startup date was June 16th of 2014. And their intermediate completion date is September 14th of 2014, with a substantial completion date of September 15th. Of 2015. The bid amount was $8.4 million. Change orders to date, $935,000. The contract amount with the company is $9.3 million. So with the total change orders to date, we're looking at $1.1 million, adding 66 users and another 21.3 miles of pipe. So the total work on this project, this contract, is 257 miles with 341 services that we've added. We're going to be adding. Okay. Here's a few additional pictures here of the work that's being done. And this next slide is contract 79G. This contract is in North Dunn and Mercer counties. The contractor was Swanberg Construction. Bid date was March 5th of 2015. Startup date was March 22nd of 2015, and the substantial completion date was September 27th, 2017. The bid amount was $5.6 million. Change orders to date, just short of $500,000 approved. There's a total of 18 change orders, totaling $1.3 million. And the contract amount with the company is $6.1 million. Work is 170 miles with 171 services. Now we're at 181 and a half miles and 212 services with additional people coming on as they see the pipe coming through. So there's a few more pictures here for you to that project. And this is contract 79G. Covers Rural Service in North Dunn County. The contractor is Northern Improvement Company. Bid date is March 5th of 2015. The startup date is June 29th of 2015. Intermediate completion date, September 15th of 2016, with a substantial completion date of August 18th of 2017. Bid amount was a little over $6.7 million. Change orders to date, $1.6 million. The contract amount with the company is $8.4 million. Original work we were looking at is 164 miles of 245 services, and now we have 276 miles and 406 services. We had a lot add on as we were going on this project. So more than $1.6 million in change orders and field orders on this contract.
Are most of your change orders, Steve, based on the fact that people are hooking as soon as they see pipe, or is it because of there's a difference in engineering design?
I believe it, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mary, but I believe what it is people are thinking of signing up. They put it off or forget about it. And I know our department, with going out trying to get those bids, trying to get those sign-ups, they work very hard at getting people to sign up. And so a lot of times what happens is, as they see the pipe being laid in the ground 2 miles to the east, kind of heading their way, oh, yeah, I need to sign up, and then they quickly call and sign up. So
the other question I have for you, we heard yesterday that some of the bids are coming in substantially lower than what the engineering estimates were. Are you experiencing that at all?
I think we're seeing some of that. We'd like to see a lot more.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, I think with our project, it's difficult to see. These were all bid when the prices were still high. We plan on doing some additional construction or bidding projects this biennium, and that will tell us. We can say we did rebid the electrical portion and mechanical portion for the treatment plant, and that the electrical dropped by over $2 million.
Okay, my next question is when you have a $1.6 million, I'll use the word overrun, how do you accomplish that in your budget?
It leaves less to spend on other things that we had planned on.
So you're moving money around within rather than coming back and asking for more, correct?
No. It's still within the amount that we've asked for. It's just that due to additional sign-ups and I'll say cultural resources, this region of the country is very rich in cultural resources, and we have to do Class 3 surveys, and as things change or there might be something hydraulically, we end up moving pipe, and they have to walk every step that pipe goes in the ground.
Thank you.
And it's the additional sign-ups.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And we've had some issues with blue-green algae. We've got three lakes that were affected in our area. Patterson Lake, west of Dickinson, and then also Bowman-Haley Dam and Lake Chida were affected by this blue-green algae. So, and this slide, I showed this last May as well, but this is showing our projected peak demand, and you can see our peak days. Are those blue dots, and the maximum that we can get out of our system, we're looking at, that's in the projected population, that upper line. So as we get increased population, these are based on that NDSU study that was done a few years ago. So we've come close to maximizing with what we can produce. Effectively treat water for the amount of people that we have in our area. So, this is showing our other current proposed construction for 2015, the 2017 biennium. We have the intake and water treatment plants are under construction. We have two raw water reservoirs that should be bid this coming month. They've been approved by Stark County Planning and Zoning, and will be before Stark County at the next upcoming meeting. Then they can be, we can advertise and bid those. Next, the first 3.6 miles of the 30-inch pipeline from the intake to the raw water tanks is under design and will be bid this winter. And there are those sites on there that I just spoke of. This is the second intake under construction at Renner Bay on Lake Sakakawea. You can see Basin Electric and Southwest Pipeline Project's current intake pump stations in the background. And currently the submittal for the recovery plan of this contract is under review. So we were about two-thirds way through with getting our second, having this intake completed. And we had a collapse in the system. There was a pop and seal broke, and so now we have some expensive equipment sitting down in a hole. So now we're currently getting ready to do additional tunneling above that. Anything to add to that, Mary?
Well, there's a couple slides you can explain.
This is the caisson looking down, and that's showing the launch location for the microtunnel machine. And pipe. I haven't been there yet to see that actually myself, but it sounds like a very interesting project, and how they do that is absolutely amazing. There's Sindhu. And this is a slide of the water treatment plant in Dickinson. So this is going to provide for, as Mary said earlier, additional 6 million gallons of treated water per day. To serve areas shown in blue on the project map. Here's an additional picture. Okay. Operation and maintenance. The pipeline project is owned by the state of North Dakota, administered by the State Water Commission. Was established in 1991. Operations and management of Southwest Pipeline were transferred to Southwest Water and January 1st of 1996, Southwest Water Authority manages, operates, and maintains all Southwest Water Pipeline features. Replacement extraordinary maintenance fund covers cost of the extraordinary nature or to replace parts with Southwest Pipeline that reach their life expectancy. Originally, the rate was set at 30 cents per 1,000 gallons. In 2016, the rate is 65 cents per 1,000 gallons of water sold. So, any questions on that? Oil industry usage. You can see in where we're at for 2016, and where we discussed earlier, we budgeted for low expectations, hoping to exceed those low expectations in 2016. There you can see how much gallons are coming out of the two different water depots. The Southwest Water Depot, that's on the east side of Dickinson, then Dodge, and then we have up near Dodge, the water depot up there. This is a chart showing the ownership of Southwest Pipeline, Southwest Water. And we're governed by a 15-member board representing 12 counties in the service area and cities of Dickinson and Mandan. Our board members serve 4-year terms, with half the board members up for election every 2 years. And I have recently we had our board members, Jonathan Eaton was reelected to Adams County, Mr. James Oderman reelected to Billings County, Larry Stang reelected for the city of Dickinson, Glenn Eckelberg reelected for Dunn County, Brian Roth reelected in Grant County, Dwayne Buligan reelected in Oliver County, and Dave Gentman reelected for Slope County. And then we have the same chairperson, vice president, and secretary this year as well. And there's a picture of our board of directors. So you can see with the state funding, what we received from the Resources Trust Fund so far. and see where we get our money or grants, state bonds that were repaid by users. And the total funding for the project so far through June of 2016 is a little over $324 million. Any questions?
Any questions from the committee? If not, Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Steve, question about the additional water that is being drawn out of Lake Sakakawea. What's the other state projects, have difficulty, let's put it that way, with in the court systems with getting additional permits. What process do you go through to get the additional water source, and how difficult is the permitting process for additional water supply?
Would that be more appropriate for?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Nelson, we go through the same process everyone else does. We currently, our last industrial permit we received through the State Water Commission, that was a 5-year process, and we applied in 2010, I believe. We received temporary permits for the years where we needed them, and our industrial permit with the Corps of Engineers is part of their excess water study that they currently have ongoing. And beyond that, it's 10,600 gallons per minute is a restricted flow rate. We have one domestic permit, and for 17,100 gallon or acre feet, we have two industrial permits, 1,130 acre feet and 7,000 acre feet, I believe. And so those are permits that we've gotten through the State Water Commission Water Appropriations Division.
Okay, but you don't have problems like with the state of Missouri, for example, for depletion every other?
I think it's because we're within basin and we've been under construction for so long, and we've always said that all the attorneys in Southwest North Dakota need water as much as we do.
Okay, well, that's good. I'm glad you don't have that problem.
Thank you, so are we.
Any other questions? Not thank you very kindly.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we do appreciate your continued support and enjoy coming before you.
Well, you made the comment about forever. And
it's a long time, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, some of us have forever shorter than others. All right, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'd just like to add, there's been some comments about the city of Beulah and the planning there. We almost dealt with the same situation with Dunn County, with the city of Kildare. So as we were going through planning, the city had a vote. They decided, instead of going with their own water treatment system, to get onto Southwest Water. So because of the timing, we were able to plan for that. So now they're part of the system versus having their own water treatment plant.
With respect to that, I think there was some long-term delays involved with that, because I remember Missouri West Water was looking to cooperate with Southwest Water to deliver water from Oliver County down to Morton County. And that Kildare issue delayed that. And this was a number of years ago. And as soon as you were able to resolve that, then we were able to work our agreement and provide that water. But it seemed as though the decision on the city of Kildare delayed water to other folks. And that was somewhat contentious, at least on our side of the system.
Yes, I completely agree.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to the next discussion item is the Devil's Lake. And I'd like to read what legislative management gave us as a committee with respect to Devil's Lake. Consider studying the impact on owners of land that has been inundated by rising water in Devil's Lake and Stump Lake. Going back to our minutes that we had from our last meeting, Representative Hofstad brought up two items. And one was the fact that the pumps needed to continue to pump. And that, and I'll quote from our minutes, he also described the need to rebuild roads that were formerly submerged so residents can use the roads to access their lands. We've had discussion that the roads were about the thing that was to be addressed. And if we go back to the minutes of the testimony, we have a number of the landowners that came in front of us also agreed with the road scenario more than anything else. And so this committee obviously cannot take up transportation issues. So I think we need to resolve this, or I would like to resolve this issue at this meeting so we do not need to take it up at our next meeting. And I don't know if, and I'll look for Claire, if we need to have a motion regarding this issue or where we need to proceed. And I would also look to Senator Holmberg for some direction as chairman of legislative management. Where would we go with this, Senator? How do we resolve this? How do we address this?
I think Claire has a comment about motions, et cetera.
Thank you, Senator Holmberg and Mr. Chairman. The committee would not need to make a formal motion to have a discussion and decide that this topic does not need to go forward, but if you want to make a motion, that would be appropriate as well. It's up to you. You can simply, by consensus, decide how you want to treat it.
And then, Mr. Chairman, the report from the committee would reflect that the committee looked at this issue and determined that they were not going to go forward because it was given to the committee as, here's something you can look at. So you're not mandated to solve the problem.
Okay, thank you, Senator. So I'd ask the committee, what are the wishes of the committee? Representative Nelson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, this was a very, very important issue to Representative Hofstad. It's probably one of the foremost issues in his district at the time, and he was very interested in this. I think, given the current state of affairs from a climate standpoint in the Devil's Lake region, I think the million dollar question is how long will the pumps continue to run? At what level will they cease to run? And I think that the operating policy of the State Water Commission, as far as those pumps are concerned, is the question that exists. If they're going to continue to run at the current levels, and we were approaching from 1450 elevation and lower, although since midsummer the lake has risen somewhat. I think that's the issue, because Mother Nature is taking care of some of this with the help of the pumps, but if the lake continues to drop, I think that's the big question, is when do the pumps stop running? And I guess I don't know the answer to that, and I don't know if anybody here can help us with that.
I think you found somebody.
Yes, I did.
There. We receive our operational direction from the Devil's Lake Advisory Committee, which is chaired by the governor.
We need your name, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Craig Odenbach. I'm the director of the Water Development Division of the State Water Commission. And that committee met this spring, and basically the direction from the committee was that we operate as we have been until if we reach a level of 48 yet this year, then that committee would reconvene. The outlets are operational. I believe one's operational down to 46 and the other one down to 45. I can't remember which is which. But so we've been operating as usual. We've been limited this year by the amount of precipitation we've received in that area. We've had channel capacity restrictions. And then we've also had an algae bloom on the west side, which is resulting in a foaming issue, which we're working to resolve at this time. But
is there, looking into the future, as long as the legislature funds the operation of those pumps, they will continue to pump, correct? I mean, there isn't anything on the horizon that has any reason to mothball those pumps at all, is there?
Not to my knowledge. Like I say, we take our direction from the Devil's Lake Advisory Committee, and the question of reconvening at a level of 48, I think, was just an opportunity to readdress the public's concerns. But as far as we're concerned, we're operating at removing as much water as we can.
Senator Lee.
Just a question, Mr. Chairman. Where is the lake at now in terms of level?
It's the last I looked, it's just a little over 50. Basically, we've held our ground this year.
So it really hasn't come down at all since the outlet committee met?
No.
Yeah. So given that, is there any action, in your opinion, that the committee needs to take to ensure that those pumps continue pumping or working?
No, sir, I don't think so.
And I hate to put our new representative on the spot, but that was pretty definitive, wasn't it? You're learning quickly. If you'd like to have your thoughts, if I may, please.
We've had a tremendous amount of rain north of Devil's Lake this year, and from what I understand, Lake Urban is about 8 inches higher than the main lake, so there's plenty of water yet to come into Devil's Lake. We've had about 20 inches of rain up in our area, and we have 3 or 4 coulees that are still running because of that. So the fact that Devil's Lake is going to drop this year, I think, is out of the question. There's so much more water coming in here. I get caught between a rock and a hard place. I have family or friends that have land underwater, and I've also lost 2 pieces of property at Devil's Lake. And some of my good friends are farmers, some of my good friends are resort owners. So I guess I have a great deal of concern about how far the lake is going to drop on both points. So I think the water's still going to keep coming. And I would welcome the interest in this myself.
Okay, thank you. Senator Shively.
Mr. Chairman, I guess, would we have an idea what the optimal level is that, or magic number where we like the lake to be at? I mean, because of the question we have with that is because for every foot you gain 10,000 acres or something like that, and that has a direct input. If we're going to, put money to roads and infrastructure, which changes every year, I mean, we need to have an idea what that is. And I guess as the Devil's Lake Advisory Committee come up with something with directions towards that.
Mr. Chairman Schmidt, Senator Shively, that was one of the issues discussed, but there was no magic level that was determined at that meeting this spring.
Please continue.
With that train of thought, then, as you said, we're trying to decide, if we're going to spend money on roads and that's kind of an important question that we need to have is if that's varying 2 feet a year, that makes a big difference on how much you're going to put onto roads and infrastructure. And I totally understand that, being a farmer and that kind of thing. But I think that kind of question has to be answered. What is our magic level that we're looking at? And that's the level of how long the pumps will be running and hopefully that we don't have drastic swings in weather that makes that go way up and way down. But I think that's kind of the number we need to know as a committee. So what's going to be dry and what's still questionable.
Senator Lee.
Mr. Chairman, I was on sat in on that Devil's Lake Outlet Committee this spring, and if the pumps hadn't been running this year, I would assume that the lake would be higher than the 50 mark, so that we've done some good in terms of managing it. And there was consensus around that 48 number, I think, in terms of the group, the farmers and the resort owners. But when you seem to get below that number, you can sense the nervousness in the group in terms of dropping much below that number. So I would say that 48 to 46 seems to be a number that maybe people could agree to, but below that, there would be a lot of angst for the resort owners in particular, getting below that number.
Chairman?
But what the right number is, you know, I don't know either, but.
Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Chairman. I think at the 8 or 1446 level, it quits running into Stump Lake, and when that happens, you're going to get a lot of squealing, I would think, because they've developed, there's a lot of cabins in that around Stump Lake now, and at that if it gets below that level, the water won't run into Stump Lake. I think I'm right there. Hopefully I am.
Yeah, Representative Anderson, I don't remember exactly what the number is between Devil's Lake and Stump Lake, but remember our pumps are only operational down to about 46, and we have no control below that.
Okay, I will ask again. What are the wishes of the committee with regards to this situation? I would, Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Chairman. I think it's pretty hard to do anything with the roads until we stabilize the level of the lake, which is probably pretty hard to do. You know, at this level, if you do something to the roads and we get a lot of snow this winter, you know, the water's going to be back over the tops of some of those roads next year, I would think.
Representative Westland.
Did the late Representative Hofstad indicate any roads or what roads that were they're looking at rebuilding?
I don't recall that he did.
I agree with Representative Anderson that the road building should be put on hold until the lake is stabilized. And at this point, it's not even close, in my opinion.
Could we make that part of a consensus then that the... Our recommendation is to not to proceed with any road construction or rehabilitation until the lake is stabilized. Can that be one consensus with this issue? I'm referring just to roads now.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Nelson.
Explain to me, if you would, please, where would the funding come from for any potential road construction? I mean, we don't have the ability to provide funding for counties or townships or which I guess would be the administrative agencies in that area to provide any benefit for road construction. So I don't know. It just doesn't seem to me like this committee has the ability to, you know, to delve into that issue.
I would agree with that, Representative, but based on the idea that the individuals brought this up as an issue, we just transfer the issue to those that can, with the clarification that we do not have the funds to do so at this time. I mean, it would just absolutely verify that we shouldn't do anything.
Yeah, I believe in the past, you know, the disaster relief fund is at the has been used in that area of the state to help with access for. I know there's several landowners that were locked out of their properties and they were able to use disaster relief funds. The counties and townships were able to access that money at very favorable rates to provide access. So there is a system that's in place now. Going forward, I'm somewhat familiar with the area that is being considered, and it's, you know, there's some very long stretches of road that would need to be replaced if as the lake recedes to get access back, and it's that's going to occur, I hope, and when it does, there's going to be a need, but I don't think we can do anything right now because it changes every year. You know, we've made good progress the last couple of winters, but you don't know what this next winter is. It's a legislative year, so we always get snow in legislative years, and so I would expect that we're going to have a lot of runoff next year.
Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Chairman. When we were in Minot, didn't we have testimony from some of the landowners that said if the lake was stable, they would repair their own roads, if I remember correctly? They were just hoping that we could stabilize the lake so they would spend the money repairing some of their own roads to get to their property.
I believe Senator Holmberg.
Mr. Chairman, I think you might want to consider in the report suggesting that the legislature continue to monitor the situation as it develops over the next months and year, because that's really what we should be doing in this. And to put it in the report indicates to those folks up there that we're not just walking away from a situation, but the legislature will continue to monitor.
And that, and if we would agree that that's the method to go, we could do that, correct?
In the report, right.
Okay. Based on what the senator has just said, would that be a consensus to make that? Okay, seeing that that would be, seeing no objection to that, we will take the senator's advice, excuse me, and move forward with that. Thank you, Craig, appreciate it. And so that will be the last discussion that we have with regards to that issue. Okay, thank you. We'll go to the next item, Mr. McBride from Savage Services, with respect to industrial sales of water.
Good morning, Chairman Schmidt and committee members. I'm passing around a written copy of what I'm going to be presenting today. My name is Mike McBride. I'm with Savage Services. We're based out of Salt Lake City, Utah. I'll tell a little bit about the company here in a moment. I'm currently a vice president with Savage for business development in our upstream oil and gas businesses. Previously, I lived in Williston close to 4 years and was involved in our water business, which provided water for industrial purposes for oil well production. Now, that business is Savage Water Solutions. That's a joint venture with Mike Ames, who's been a longtime independent water provider in the state. So while we're separate and not a member of the independent water providers, we do share many of the same policy concerns that this organization has, and I'd like to address those today. Just a little more color on that. In 2013, during the session, we formally withdrew from the independent water providers. Like I said, while we share a lot of the same ideas, we wanted to take a different approach in terms of how we communicated our message and went about our business. We've had the opportunity recently to talk with several of you about Savage and our presence in the state. I'd like to just give a quick overview of our company and some of the activities we're involved in. We're a transportation and logistics company. We've been in business for 70 years. We have three business lines. One is rail-centric, where we operate rail facilities. We do track maintenance, rail switching, and other activities around locomotive fueling. We do that in several locations around the U.S. and in Canada. We also have a refinery and power solutions business, which operates inside oil refineries and as well as power plants, particularly focused on managing materials and handling materials such as petroleum coke and sulfur, as well as transloading heavy crude and other crudes at oil refineries. And finally, we have an energy and oil and gas business, and that's the business that I work in, and we're focused on the midstream side of the business as well as upstream oil and gas services. We've been in North Dakota since 1995, transloading lignite char up at our Bowbells operation. But recently, with the expansion of oil production in North Dakota, we've invested about $180 million in here, specifically in North Dakota, developing several different projects. One of those is a crude-by-rail terminal located in Trenton, North Dakota. That facility is both storage and has pipeline connectivity. We have a state-of-the-art oil-filled pipe inspection and threading facility also located in Trenton, which is rail connected. It's one of the only, it's the most unique and most versatile pipe facilities in North Dakota. We also have water depots and infrastructures to provide industrial water for oil well production across the Bakken. At our peak before losing some of our water permits, we had 15 water facilities in the Bakken. We're now down to about 11 operating, as well as close to 50 to 60 miles of pipelines. We also have workover rigs and a wellhead services business here in North Dakota, and we have truck and pipe transportation services. So all of these businesses provide tax revenues and jobs that benefit the state, the counties, and local communities. We're focused on always operating safely and making a positive difference in the communities where we work. EH&S Mag, we take safety very seriously. It's in our DNA, and it runs through everything that we do. And EH&S Magazine named Savage one of the safest companies in America. So we're proud of that, and we go to work every day focused on doing the right things to keep our employees safe. We have a joint venture with Tesoro to build a 360,000 barrel per day rail-to-marine crude transfer terminal at the Port of Vancouver in southwest Washington. I think many of you have talked to us about that. Maybe some of you have not. But at a high level, this project will facilitate the transportation of North American crude, predominantly from the Bakken, to the West Coast refineries. It will support jobs and economic growth in both Washington State and in North Dakota. And it will increase our country's energy independence and security by displacing up to 30% of the foreign oil currently imported to the West Coast. For us, this is a very exciting project. And for North Dakota, it's an exciting project because it will open new markets that are today unavailable for Bakken crude moving towards the West Coast that are challenged because of lack of pipeline infrastructure, which probably is not going to be coming anytime soon to the West Coast. So on the water issue side, while we'd like to continue to invest and grow our businesses in North Dakota, like every business, we take into account the uncertainties that exist in the marketplace. In the case of our industrial water business, there are uncertainties beyond market conditions that make it a real challenge, and which relate to water issues overseen by this committee. Historically, North Dakota has been known as a state that is great for doing business. However, for the past several years, we have found ourselves in an unusual situation of competing with a state-financed entity, the Western Area Water Supply Authority, in providing industrial water for oil well production. We want to emphasize that we recognize the importance of bringing domestic water to rural parts of the state. This is vital to communities and families, including many of our employees. When I lived in Williston, we were on the Williams Rural Water District, and I'm glad we were because I know the well water, if I were to have drilled a well, was not very good. We were next to the Little Muddy River, and the water wasn't good. So we really appreciated having access to good, clean water. However, by using industrial sales as the funding mechanism, North Dakota has established a system that puts the public entity into direct competition with private businesses. From our perspective, WAS has been granted competitive advantages that result in unfair playing field. These are access to capital at much lower rates. There's not a project, a water project in the state, that I'm confident has been able to get the volume of dollars at the rates that WAS has been able to get. Another is the threat of eminent domain, and we heard yesterday that eminent domain's only been used on 16 miles of close to 1,000. But having the threat of eminent domain is a very large leverage when developing a pipeline. And if you were to look at maps of pipeline systems, our pipeline systems are not straight. They snake around and go around landowners. And it's because we not only is the ability to use it gives you not only gives you a large negotiating power, it also allows you to go more directly to the markets that you're focused on, which is a huge cost savings.
Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Chairman. Mike, first I appreciate you doing business in our state, but yesterday we got a report from WAS that shows that their market share has actually went down in industrial sales. I think it said it peaked here in 2014 at 19.7% of the market. Now it's 14.8%. Are they just the creep occurring in just certain areas, or why is there a difference of opinion between you and WAS on the market share here, I guess?
Yeah, Representative Anderson, Representative Schmidt, I can't speak for the Bakken-wide movements of water. We actually, Savage, we don't have a presence other than on the reservation south of the river, which was discussed yesterday in McKenzie County. But what I can say is that WAS has water pipelines north of the river and south of the river. And when looking at market share, it's difficult to use a full view of the Bakken and try to come to what effect we've had. Most of our businesses are north of the river, and so I can say that our business has been impacted significantly as the rigs have sucked into the core areas of McKenzie County and South Williams County. So it's hard to it's a broad question that has lots of answers that I probably can't answer because we're not in those markets south of the river.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Striley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just 2 points. I don't disagree with some of what you're saying, but the fact is your cost of water is less than WAS, so you're more competitive cost-wise because it's set in statute or by policy. And then I guess the next question is, would you be interested in buying any of these depots?
So Representative Striley, Chairman Schmidt, I'll answer the second question first. We're interested in supporting any activity that will eventually focus WAS on its original mission, which is to provide municipal water. I'm not prepared to comment whether or not we're interested in buying any portion of WAS, but we would support that any effort that refocuses WAS on municipal. And what was your first question, Representative Striley?
You've already got a competitive advantage because your rates are lower than what WAS's are because they can't move those outside of via whatever committee it's called, via policy of the Industrial Commission. So you're at a competitive advantage just because your rates can float with the market where WAS or the Industrial Commission doesn't. So, I mean.
Yeah. Representative Striley, I don't know if that's a question or if you want me to comment on that or just acknowledge your view. Okay. So we don't have a problem, obviously, going head-to-head with other companies, but competing against a state-funded entity with built-in advantages isn't what we envisioned when we got into this business. Every barrel of water sold by Western Area Water Supply negatively impacts independent water providers who are already engaged in extensive cost-cutting and efficiency measures because of market conditions, worsened by the state's abrupt cancellation of our in-lieu of irrigation program that we had about 6 weeks' notice, and we have water depots that now have weeds growing up around them and because we didn't have the time to find alternate sources. Another major concern that I think has gotten forgotten along the way is the scope creep that's been allowed to occur. WAS was initially created with a limited number of water depots envisioned in areas with less access to industrial water. I say that because the original bill that was put into law stated that the location of those water depots would be considered so as to minimize the impact on the independent water providers. So with that, you can extend that to say that they were to be placed where there wasn't already a market being served by independent water providers. That scope creep has happened in the way that WAS has pipelines branching out into other parts of the state and in the oil field, and is taking more business away from water providers. So the name of the shouldn't be a discussion about water depots. In 2013, it shouldn't have been a discussion about water depots. It should have been a discussion about connecting to water pipeline systems and connecting directly to oil wells, because there was a shift going on back in 2013, but the focus was still heavily on the water depots. My point is, this spider webbing out of pipelines is what's impacting the independent and private water businesses, not the water depots. So our position on WAS is that we understand that WAS isn't going away anytime soon, and that the state has the responsibility to recover its investments and provide domestic water. We simply ask that you consider the unusual situation that exists that I've outlined above and avoid actions that would allow WAS to further encroach on our customers and put the private water providers at a further disadvantage. The private sector can meet the state's industrial water needs. We're here making investments in the state and creating jobs. However, uncertainty created by WAS makes it harder for us to justify new business ventures in North Dakota. We're not here to tell you what to do with WAS or how to address its financing, but we hope you will recognize the benefits of having businesses here like Savage that provide needed oil field services, support economic growth, and contribute significant tax revenues that benefit people throughout the state. Of course, if it is the will of the legislature to establish a path forward to fairly address the questions of the public debt and ultimately refocus WAS's mission exclusively on supplying communities and domestic water needs, we would support those efforts. We'll be in attendance during the coming legislative session and look forward to assisting however we can and offering our perspective as you work through this set of challenging issues. Thank you.
Any further comments or questions? Representative Striley.
Just a comment on the how all this works. It is kind of interesting, and this is with not just your company but others, that you know, the water, quote, in North Dakota, underground water is the property of the people, yet it's free. I don't know any other business, I mean, essentially free, where your main product is free. So, I mean, there's no taxes on it to amount to anything. So, I mean, there's some built-in advantages already, like I said, with the cost and then the actual product outside of running the infrastructure. I get that, but the raw product is essentially free.
Any other comments or questions? Thank you so kindly, Mike, for first of all, for Savage being in the state of North Dakota and contributing. We appreciate that. And also, we'll consider your thoughts on the issue of industrial sales. But just one thought was, when I got into this, in the interim between 2011 and 2013, there was a lot of discussion of locating depots for Western Area Water Supply and independent water providers. And at that time, when we started that discussion right after the 2011 session, the idea was is to take one of North Dakota's natural resources and use the development of that to develop another natural resource, which is water, to provide it to the people that were there before the oil was and that will be there after the oil. And that was the intent, is to use that resource to pay for the other. And I think that's a noble intent. So with that, thank you again, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Let us take a 15-minute break, and we'll get set up for our quick take discussions. Okay, let us reconvene, and we'll start our discussions on quick take. Please note in the agenda that at 12:30 we're going to have comments by interested persons, and we will continue to do that at 12:30. But if we have time before that point, at 12:30, we'll entertain comments that. So if we get such with the agenda, we may not have to take lunch and just and then leave like at 1 o'clock or so. So we'll just try to work through that. So let us begin. As I mentioned earlier this morning, the quick take discussion is going to be basically Claire. Start off a little bit about the correspondence that you have. Then she's going to talk about the memo. Then that issue with the cassettes and the Fargo diversion. And then she'll talk about the bills. And then what we'll do is we'll call for public comment and then see where that takes us. So with that, Claire, the rest of the morning is yours.
Thank you, Chairman Schmidt. Well, Chairman Schmidt and members of the committee, as mentioned, I'll go through real quickly the correspondence that we've received from interested parties on Quick Take. And you should have copies of everything in front of you, hard copies. except for one email. So one of the documents that we received was an email from Mike Dwyer dated August 23rd that went out to all the committee members. And he was addressing bill draft number 2, which I think is bill draft 0224, in which on behalf of Dave Ashley, the chairman of the North Dakota Water Resource Districts Association and chairman of the Souris River Joint Water Resource Board, the Water Resource Districts of North Dakota agreed with a comment made by Cass County that, the Red River Joint Water Resource District regarding the changes to that second bill draft, which again, I believe is the one that is 17.0224.010000. And we'll get into that in just a little bit, but that's the only correspondence that you don't have a hard copy of, but you do have electronically. The hard copy documents that you have are an August 11th memorandum from the Red River Joint Water Resource District regarding quick take authority, and I won't read that for the record, but it's entered into the record just by reference. There is an August 16th, 2016 memorandum from Chairman Don Moffitt regarding Water Resource District's quick take authority, and that's Chairman of the Richland County Water Resource District. You have an August 23rd memo from the Red River Joint Water Resource Board responding to the bill drafts that were circulated, and again, we'll discuss those in just a little bit. There is an August 23rd memo from the Cass County Joint Water Resource District that addresses the litigation over their use of quick take and the recent court orders that have come out, and I'll get into that next. So those are the documents you should have from interested parties. And just by way of a little background, I think you all have a copy of that memorandum from Legislative Council that John Walstead has discussed, I think, in a 2 or 3 meetings with you. Just as a quick refresher, the basis of that memo was just some background on how the water resource districts have quick take authority and why this committee is looking at that issue. As a refresher, water resource districts have had quick take authority since 1989 for federally funded projects. They've had that authority since 2009 for state funded projects. And in the 2015 session, there was a House Bill 1095, that was amended on the House floor to require legislative assembly approval for projects before a water resource district could use quick take authority. The Senate removed that amendment language. And then the conference committee also took the language out, but authorized this committee to undertake a study of the use of quick take eminent domain by water resource districts. However, later in the session, Senate Bill 2015 brought the language back, and that was the OMB appropriations bill, and it reintroduced that language requiring legislative approval for specific projects before a water resource district could use quick take authority. That bill passed, but the governor vetoed that language. And so now we are back in a situation where, again, this committee is tasked with studying the use of quick take eminent domain.
Is there any Representative Emmerman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In 2009 amendment, when we added quick take for state funding, was that added to all the other authorities under quick take, like the highway department, the airport? So are they all have quick take with state funding and not just water resource?
Representative Ammerman and the rest of the committee, I don't know the answer to that. What I can tell you is that the language regarding the use of quick take by water resource boards is actually in a part of the century code devoted to water resource boards. So if the language was added just to that section, it could be simply for water resource boards. But I can go back and check to see if that language regarding state-funded projects appears in other sections of the Century Code.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other questions on the background?
Senator Lee.
Mr. Chairman and Claire, looking at the the document that council has prepared. So in terms of quick take, the action is simply for a right-of-way. That's all that they are seeking, is a right-of-way to a particular piece of land or parcel. Am I understanding that right?
Senator Lee and members of the committee, that is correct. A quick take can be used for a right-of-way by a water resource board.
So they can't purchase, it isn't a purchase right, it isn't an ownership right. The landowner still has ownership of the land, if that's all they're asking for, is a right-of-way.
Correct. Correct. If there are no other questions on the background, I will spend just a couple of minutes on the recent court orders that came down in the Cossette case, and you have copies of those. There were two orders in that case in particular, and at the same time, there was a court order in a case involving, and I'm hoping I pronounced this correctly, the Savagos. Both cases were ones in which the Cass County Joint Water Resource District used quick take authority to take a right-of-way. If you can give me one moment here. The Cossette case is a little bit complicated in the way that the judicial procedure played out. And I think that there is a lot of potential misinterpretation of the judge's order. In particular, his order denying the motion requesting confirmation of quick take authority. One of the things that the Water District did was, after they went through the steps to use quick take authority and take possession of a right-of-way on the Cossette land, they had that right-of-way challenged in court. And I believe, based on my reading of the briefs and the order, what the Water Resource District decided at that time was that they may face challenges to their possession of the land, that the landowners could go in and try to block their access. And so what the Water Resource District did is, and this is optional, this is not something they would have had to do, they went to the judge and they said, we would like an order from you confirming our ability to possess this land, our use of quick take authority. And they filed that motion to the court. The court considered it, and at the same time, the landowners filed a motion to dismiss the case. And essentially, that landowner motion was asking the court to say, no, quick take authority is not appropriately used here. And so there were sort of two tracks that the court was looking at, and they issued opinions on both motions on the same day. In the landowner motion to dismiss, the judge said, no, I'm not going to dismiss the case. The judge specifically said that the Water Resource District had followed all three steps that they needed to take to accomplish quick take of that right of way. And that was in the order dismissing or order denying the motion to dismiss. He specifically said that those three prerequisites for use of quick take authority had been met by the district. On the same day, he issued an order denying the district's motion for an order confirming the use of quick take. And that's where it gets a little bit confusing, because on the one hand, he said that the district had the ability to possess the land because they had accomplished all three prerequisites for quick take authority. And on the other hand, he said, but no, I'm not going to give you an order saying that. And the reason he said, I'm not going to give you an order saying that, is because they didn't follow the proper procedural steps to ask for that order. And a lot of people have interpreted that to mean that the Water Resource District didn't take the appropriate actions to accomplish quick take authority. But that's not the case. The judge said, I'm not going to give you the order because you didn't follow the necessary steps to ask me for the order. Now, what I think the Water Resource District is probably regretting is asking for that order in the first place, because again, remember, that is optional. There are only there are only three things that the Water Resource District needed to do to actually take possession of the land under quick take authority anyway. They have to basically make sure that the project has funds appropriated by the federal government or the state government. And the judge said that, yes, they had met that requirement. It has to be the right type of project. It has to be a water project that the Water Resource District is approved to accomplish. And the judge said, yes, you met that requirement as well. And then the Water Resource District has to actually put the funds. They have to make a written offer to the landowner. And then they have to take the amount of that written offer and deposit it with the clerk of the court. And the judge said, yes, you did that as well. So when those three things were done, then the Water Resource District had possession of that right-of-way under their quick take authority. So again, going to the judge and asking him to confirm that was not necessary, but they did that probably because, based on the brief, they were anticipating some pushback from the landowners, and they wanted to have a court order that they could take to the sheriff so that the sheriff could enforce their possession of that right-of-way. But again, that was optional. They didn't need to go to the judge to request that particular order. And so that's where I think some of the confusion in that case lies. And in addition to that, that Savago case came down about the same day. It was maybe 1 or 2 days. It came down from a different judge. And that in that case, the district had asked for a similar order from the judge confirming that the quick take authority was being appropriately used for the Savago land. And in that case, the judge said yes. I'm going to confirm that you have taken the land by quick take so that the district has an order from the court in that particular case in case there's any pushback and they need to have a court order to enforce their possession. So I hope I have not muddied the water on that any more than it already was. It's a lot of legalese and a lot of procedure, but I think the key fact is that the Water Resource District did not procedurally mess up in the quick take. And using quick take. They messed up in the procedure that the judge wanted them to use to ask for that particular order. Are there any questions on those cases? Okay, would you like me to continue? Okay. So next we will introduce the three bill drafts that I was requested by committee members to prepare for the committee. The first one is very simple. It is Bill 17.0223.01000. And that bill essentially eliminates quick take authority for water resource boards altogether. The water resource boards would still be allowed to use regular eminent domain, but their quick take authority would be taken away. And you have to remember that any entity in the state that is going to use quick take authority has to be specifically granted it by the legislature. That's why the language in that second part of the paragraph on the bill exists. And when it's stricken, as in this bill draft, then they lose the ability to use quick take authority. Representative Ammerman?
Thank you. I believe you said that if it's taken away, they could still use eminent domain, but not quick take. But they could use quick take if federal funds are involved yet. Is that correct?
Representative Ammerman and Chairman Schmidt and the members of the committee, no, they would not be able to use quick take for any projects under this version, under this particular bill draft.
Okay.
Okay. If there are no additional questions on that bill draft, I'll move on to the second one, which is 17.0224.01000. This bill restricts water resource boards' ability to use quick take. So they would only be able to use their quick take authority for certain projects, specifically water supply projects. This bill also clarifies the requirement that water resource boards have to try to acquire a right-of-way by negotiation before they can use quick take. There is some potential confusion over that in the law. This would clarify that particular issue. It would also say that water resource boards that use quick take authority have to provide a written offer of compensation, which is already required, and they would have to provide that to the landowner. But the written offer of compensation would then have to include an appraisal that did not take into account the changes in the value to the property due to the project or anticipation of the project. So that particular piece clarifies what the written offer of compensation must be based upon. Are there any questions from the committee on Bill 0224? Okay. And then the third bill is 17.0259.01000. And under this bill draft, water resource boards would have to obtain the approval of county commissioners before they would be able to use quick take. So there would be an elected body that would be in charge of approving or denying the ability to use quick take before it's exercised.
So what we'll do is we'll, at 12:30, according to our agenda, we opened it up for public comments. And we have two folks here with us. Do you folks wish to make any comments? You do not? Okay. All right. With that, is there any other comments from the committee? Representative Zupke.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to thank everyone for coming, and I want the record to reflect that when you come to Watford City, North Dakota, we get you out of here early.
Yeah, but you didn't have lunch with Sorvog with his $22 lunch. You guys are late. We're already adjourned. No, okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
It should also be pointed out that when you come out to Watford City, the host legislator actually buys lunch.
Not enough to listen to that.
Mr. Chairman, not for everybody.
Okay, we were just asking for public comment on Quick Take. You gentlemen have any comment? None? Okay. Yeah, this is our chance. We have it's been moved. We adjourn. Second, we'll adjourn. And our next meeting is the 22nd, 23rd in Bismarck with the State Water Commission the first day, and then we will meet the second day, and we will take up these quick take bills and take action on the second day. All right, folks, happy trails home. Drive safely. Thank you.